Amen. Well, our Bible reading has taken us through, and since I run off and forgot the bulletin, I'm thinking, is it 2 Chronicles chapter 10? Is that how far we made it in the Old Testament? Should be like a whole church full of people going, yeah, preacher, that's as far as it goes. And then in Acts chapter 5 in the New Testament. So in keeping with what we've been doing, I'm going to break my own rule today, and I'm going back to last week because there is a really, really, really interesting passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and it's buried in the genealogies. You know, you've got to be careful. I think God does some of this sometimes to kind of keep us engaged, because when you come to some of the genealogies, you kind of bog down, you know, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and so-and-so beget so-and-so, and I can just hear it. I mean, I can hear the saying, what difference does this make? Why is this here? You know, the more you study the Bible, the more you realize how important those things are. But what we have is buried in one of the genealogies of the tribe of Judah. There is a little gem, a little nugget of information about a fellow named Jabez. Now, he's a descendant of Judah, but his father is not named. And so it's kind of interesting here. So I'd like for you to read with me 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And I want us to talk about, from that passage of Scripture, I want us to talk about Jabez's mom today. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, buried in this genealogy of the descendants of the tribe of Judah is this man named Jabez. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us as we search the Scriptures to try and understand just what was going on in his life. Lord, we know the amazing thing about this is we know that he prayed to you and that you heard him and that you granted what he had asked for. And so, Lord, we just want to understand more about what was going on in his life. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, we can learn a lot about Jabez's mom from reading this. And the first thing that we learn is that she taught him to remember. Jabez's mom taught her son to remember. You know, we talked about this. I kind of brought this up a few weeks ago. But this is really, really, really important. It's really, really important for you to remember. You know, you don't want to lose your past. Right now, our country's trying real hard to destroy certain aspects of our past and try to erase it and pretend like it never happened and make it go away. Well, that's a foolish thing to do. Hey, I'm not for slavery, but guess what? A civil war happened in this country. We should learn from those kinds of things. We should look back on that and see how we got where we are today instead of trying to go back and erase things. But one of the things that Jabez's mother did, and I think this is something that all good moms do, is they teach their children to remember. It says his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, what was so sorrowful about the birth of Jabez? Well, I don't know, but I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess because his father is not named. So I'm thinking that after his conception and before his birth, Jabez's father passed away. Now, I don't know whether that happened in war or whether it was in sickness or whether he was an older gentleman. I don't know what happened. I don't know the circumstances. But whatever the circumstances were, his father is never mentioned. It's not mentioned in this genealogy. And all the rest of these genealogies is telling you who these people came from based on their father, but not Jabez. It brings up his mother. Now, it doesn't name her, but it says that she named him this so that every day when he thought of who he was, my name is Jabez, which has to do with being sorrowful. My mama was sorrowful when I was born. It wasn't that she was sorrowful because of Jabez. She was sorrowful, I think, because a baby was born into the world without a daddy, and a mama had to raise a child without a husband. And that sorrowful situation, she didn't want him to ever forget that. Why did she give him that name? Well, I think she gave him that name to remind him to be thankful to God that she had lived. Whatever the circumstances were that took his father's life, maybe she was involved with that as well. I think she wanted him to remember and to be thankful, to remind him of the sorrow of the world that he was born into. Isn't that, that's a sad thing to have to remember, but you know, we're all born into this world as sinners, and we live in a world full of sinners, and there's an awful lot of sorrow that we have to deal with in the world. I think maybe she gave him that name to remind him to love and honor his mother, to remember that her circumstances were not ideal when that little boy was born, and yet she did her very best to raise him up. You know, growing up without a father is a tough thing, but I can't even imagine. Wendy tells me all the time, she's like, don't die, I can't do this by myself, right? I'm sure lots of moms say that, especially when they feel very overwhelmed at times. And I don't know if there were other children. I don't know. This is the only one that we know about. But a mom's job is a tough job. And when this little boy was born, it was a sorrowful thing. And she taught her son to remember. You know, my mom, she helps to remember the past. We, you know, every time we get together, it seems like we'll bring up stories and talk about, you know, my grandparents and my great-grandparents and the way that she was raised and you know, put together. We look through albums sometimes, and the guys had some rodeo cowboys with us this weekend, and so they broke out my dad's old picture album, and they looked at a bunch of old rodeo pictures, and that brought up all kinds of opportunities to talk about things. But it's important that you remember where you came from. It's important that you remember who your people are. And that's something that she did. Not only did she teach him to remember, but I think she also taught him the Word of God. You say, well, how do you know this? Well, first of all, it says he was more honorable than his brethren. And an honorable man is somebody who knows the Word. And if his daddy wasn't around, that means his mama had to be the one to do it. You know, that wouldn't be the first time. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul said of Timothy, says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, this is 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Now, Timothy was a man who had a father. His father was a Greek and apparently not a believer. But his grandmother and his mother were believers, and they taught that little boy the Word of God. They taught him the truth of the Scriptures so that when Paul came along and preached the gospel, he was ready to receive Jesus Christ. You know, here's the interesting thing. If you'll turn back in your Bible to 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55, 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 55, it says there, it speaks of, and the families of the scribes. Now, a scribe is somebody who handles the Word of God. They were the ones who kept the Word of God and who copied it. So they didn't have, you know, they didn't have printing presses or copying machines, so they had to copy the Scriptures by hand. So there was a group of scribes that lived, and it says there that they lived and dwelt at a city called what? Jabez. This man was an honorable man. He was so honorable, they named a city after him, and it was a city filled with scribes. You think he knew a little bit about the Bible? I think so. It says the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites and the Shimeathites and the Shukathites. These are the Kenites that came of Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. And as we go into, if you want to look up Rechab and talk about, go to the book of Jeremiah, you'll see that there's a whole story about the Rechabites and how faithful that group of people were. So there was a city named after this honorable man, Jabez, and it was a city that was filled up with scribes. So I'm going to take from that, that he was a man of the word. And not only that, that he was probably a scribe himself. And that came from his mama, teaching him the Word of God. Listen, moms, we were teasing about bubble gum and making sure kids have plenty of food. And I know all moms here are good at that. One of the most important things that you could ever do for your children is teach them the Word of God. Model for them a love of the Word of God. You know, Greg Laurie, a pastor out in California, I was at a pastor conference one time. I heard him say something magnificent. He said, people develop an appetite for what you feed them. And excepting a few yucky vegetables, I believe that's true. Amen? I mean, you develop an appetite for what you get fed. And if you feed a constant appetite, or feed a constant diet of the Word of God, your children will develop an appetite for it. And I think that's something that she did. A scribe is one who studies the Bible. There was a city that was named after him. If you'll turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. First of all, 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said that the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ was in Timothy's grandmother and his mother. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, you can't make your children become followers of Jesus. You can't do that. But you can teach them the Bible. And you can make your home a place where it's hard to be a pagan in. I mean, they can still do it, but you can make it a place where it's really hard to do that. A lot of kids have a drug problem because of their mothers, right? They get drugged to church on Sunday morning. Amen. No excuses. I don't feel good. Get up. Take their temperature. If you got over 103, you can stay. Otherwise, go to church. Don't you know, this is mom, this is dad, but we're talking about moms today. Draw some lines. I want you to think about a calendar. A calendar is a really interesting thing. Calendar, I hate calendars, by the way, because, I love New Year's. You look at this whole open year with all these wonderful opportunities. And by about February the 1st, the whole thing, you're a slave to it now. Everybody, we got to do this and that and this and that. And they got to go to this. And these people are having that. And there's no time for hunting or fishing or anything. No, I'm just kidding. But if you look at a calendar and you think about what you prioritize, you're going to put it on your calendar. You know, there's deadlines. You have to meet this deadline. There's certain things you have to do, certain places you want to go, certain events you want to attend. Well, Let me just tell you, Mom, one of the things you need to do is you need to draw a line through the first day of the week on the calendar and say, that day, that's God's day. And we're going to be doing something that has to do with Jesus on that day. See, you need to take and prioritize your day and say, out of all the things that get done today, one of the things that must get done today is we need to read the Bible. And I believe that is the kind of mom that Jabez's mom was, because she raised a man who was more honorable than his brethren. And when it says his brethren, that's not just the other children of his mother. It's the other descendants of Judah. It's the men that he lived in the midst of. He was more honorable than them. And if his daddy wasn't in the picture, that means that his mama either had to teach him the Bible or put him in a position where he could learn it. And that's something else, Mom. That's something else that you can do. You can look around and prayerfully find some people that can help you and put your children in a position where they can learn the Word of God. She taught him to remember where he came from. She gave him a name. This is probably terribly inappropriate, but, Johnny Cash sang a song about a boy named Sue. And his daddy wasn't going to be around, so he named him Sue to make him tough. This is kind of I don't know. I think it's funny. But anyway, I don't recommend that. Well, Jabez's mother did something similar. She named him Sorrowful. Don't you know? How you doing? Hi, I'm Roddy. What's your name? Sorrowful. You kidding or what? No, that's what my mama named you. Why'd your mama name you that? Well, let me tell you. My mama named me that because of this. You know, I think it did the trick. Not only was he remembering that, but he was more honorable than his brethren. And I think that has to do with the fact that his mama taught him the Word of God. And there's one more thing that his mama taught him. His mama taught him how to pray. And I know that she taught him how to pray because recorded for us here in the scripture is the prayer that he prayed. Now, about 15, 20 years ago, a fellow named Bruce Wilkinson got a hold of this. Actually, stumbled across this in Bible college. And he wrote a little book about this and sold a million copies, made all kinds of money. And everybody and their dog got on. I mean, it was Pop Goes to the Church. And that was what that book was, in my opinion. It was Pop Goes to the Church. And it was huge. I mean, Dr. James Dobson was praying the prayer of Jabez. And this is what they did with it. They made this a mantra. Christians do not do that. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew, don't pray vain repetitions. But they were actually teaching people, just pray this prayer and God will bless you. No, that's not Christian. That's, I don't know, some Buddhist or something. I don't know. It was crazy. Here's what's so wonderful about this. This is the Word of God, and we can learn an awful lot about what he prayed. But God's not giving, there's not this little, wouldn't it be great? You know, God just gives you a little business card. Just say this prayer every day, you know. You say this prayer every day and boom. God blesses you. That's not the way this works. That's not what God teaches us. That's not what he intends. So you can repeat this prayer every day, and I'm telling you what, it won't do you any good. But what you can do is you can learn from what he prayed. And I believe his mother taught him how to pray. And here's what I think she taught him how to pray. First of all, he prays in verse 10. It says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Now, that might sound a bit selfish, but I want you to think with me for just a minute about this. He says, bless me indeed. And he's asking God to bless him indeed. You know, this, if we're right about his daddy dying before he was born, this is a boy who doesn't have the blessing of his father. Now, I want you to think back to Genesis. I want you to think back to Jacob and Esau. And I want you to think back to how important that was. I want you to think back to Genesis, and I want you to think back to Joseph, whenever his boys were, you know, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he takes them to meet his daddy who was dying. And they bring old Jacob, they come to see him, and old Jacob, he's in bed, and they help him to stand up. He can't even see. And Joseph has them lined up with the oldest on the left and the youngest on the right, so that Jacob, who can't see, is going to put his right hand on the head of the oldest boy and his left hand on the head of the youngest boy and pronounce a blessing upon these boys. And Jacob did this. And Joseph tried to move his hand. He said, no, daddy, that's the wrong one. And he said, no, son, this is what God's told me to do. That blessing was so important to those Israelite boys. And here's a boy who doesn't have his father's blessing. Now, let me just take a little aside for just one second. I know this is Mother's Day, but let me just say this. Please don't think there's anything magical about this blessing. But let me tell you what this is. All little boys have daddy issues. And I don't, you can say you don't, but you do. Every boy has something that he desperately needs. That is the approval of his father. And he needs it. And he wants it. He needs an attaboy. And he can get it from other people, and that's good. But listen to me, dads. It's really important that your son hear you say. Think about Jesus. On three different occasions, he heard a voice from heaven saying, that is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That's how important it is that the father gave the blessing to the son. And so, and by the way, moms, you can do this as well. But there's just something about having the blessing of your father. You know, I could tell you right now, I'm praying for a young man who never had the blessing of his father. His dad, I mean, this boy was in the way. And when I grew up in close proximity to him, and I could just see it. I could watch it. I mean, I felt sorry for him when he was a kid, because it didn't matter what he did, it was wrong. His dad was never pleased with him. He was always in trouble, and it just perpetuated. And now he's a grown man, and it continues to perpetuate. And he continues to make the dumbest decisions. And I go all the way back, and I remember him as a little boy, just desperately wanting for his daddy to bless him. Well, here's a young man who doesn't have that, can't have that, because daddy's not there. But you know what his mama taught him? His mama taught him that even though he didn't have an earthly father, he had a loving heavenly father that could bless him indeed. And he sought God's blessing. Mom, no matter what your husband's like with your children, you can teach them to seek the blessing of God. And that's what she did. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. If you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Here's a young man who's a spiritual young man who's been taught how to pray, how to seek the Father, who has a strong desire for spiritual things. You know, I want you to think about the difference between Jacob and Esau. Jacob desperately wanted his father's blessing. He desperately wanted the birthright. And Esau could have cared less. Esau wasn't interested in spiritual things. Jacob was. And so is Jabez. Jabez is a man who's interested in spiritual things. I think his mother taught him that. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." You know, a woman in that day and time who did not have a husband would have been in a very, very difficult financial situation. It would have been very difficult for her to be able to make a living. And lots of times we read about this as we read the book of Ruth. And we see how Naomi and Ruth, these disenchanted women who their husbands had died, how dire their situation was, and how wonderful it was whenever Ruth was married to Boaz, and they came under the protection of this man who had means, who had land, and who had wealth, and who could provide for them and take care of them. But yet, here's a mom who doesn't have that, and what did she do? Well, she taught her son, you seek the Father. The Father is where all blessing comes from. Number two, he prayed this. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." Now, once again, that sounds a little bit selfish. I think it sounds a little selfish, you know. Oh, God, bless me and give me more country. But, once again, he's not going to receive an inheritance from his father, apparently. Or maybe he was, but he wasn't going to be able to get it until he was older. And so, once again, she taught him to seek for God. He knew that only God could give him what God wanted him to have. And listen to me, here's the thing. Here's the thing about a spiritual person versus a non-spiritual person. A non-spiritual person just wants anything and everything that they can get. A spiritual person wants what God wants them to have. And there's a huge difference in that. You know, for some people, God wants them to have great wealth so that they can turn around and be a blessing to others. I think Abraham was a man like that. I think Job was a man like that. I think King David was a man like that. God blessed them with abundance and with wealth, and then they shared and they took care of people, and that abundance and wealth became a blessing to others. But for other people, God doesn't give them that kind of blessing. God has something else for them. And so that's what he wants. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, the Bible says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Listen, no matter what your inheritance is here in this life, there's coming another life. And the way that we are faithful to Christ now will determine what he entrusts us with in the future. And a mom took her son and she taught him to seek God in prayer. And she taught him to trust God for what he would give to him. And so he prayed, "God, I pray that you would enlarge my coast." That may not mean more country. That might mean more influence. There's a whole lot of things that might mean. But he was asking for God's blessing in that. He was asking for God's enlargement in that. Number three, he prayed that thine hand might be with me. Jabez desired the presence of God. He desired the presence of God. You remember the story of Moses and his young man Joshua that was his right-hand man. And Moses would go into that tent. He pitched for himself to talk to the Lord. And Joshua would wait at the door. And when the time came for Moses to die, the Bible says that God took the anointing that was on Moses and he put it on Joshua. So while the rest of the camp of Israel was doing what they were doing, Joshua was waiting upon his master at the door of the tent, desiring spiritual things. Desiring spiritual things. This mom, Jabez's mom, taught her son the importance of the presence of God. To know God, to have a relationship with God, to be near Him, that your hand might be with me, that you would give me the strength. David prays in one of the Psalms that God gives him the strength to break a bow of iron. That doesn't mean to break it in half. It means to be able to draw the thing, to be able to fire it. A bow of iron. Can you imagine how hard that would be to bend? And so David realized his strength came from God. I think that's exactly what Jabez is praying here. God, you've got to give me the strength to do what it is that you want me to do. But most of all, I want you to be with me. I want your hand to be with me in whatever I do. And number four, he prayed that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Now, once again, if you're not real careful, that might sound selfish. Keep me from evil because I don't want it to grieve me, to bother me. But I don't think that's it at all. I think what he means is to keep him from evil, that evil doesn't influence him. And it's very similar to what the Lord taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jabez knew there was evil in the world. His mother taught him that. His mother taught him that there was evil out there and that he needed to avoid that at all costs. And that he needed God's help to keep him from that evil. And then the most amazing part of this whole passage of Scripture is the very last part. And it says, and God granted him that which he requested. I love that. I love that. Jabez's mother, she raised him. And she did more than just raise him. She discipled him. She taught him to remember where he came from, how difficult his circumstances were, and to not let that be a crutch. But instead of going through life whining and moaning because he didn't have a father, to turn to the one who is his heavenly father, to turn to the God of Israel, and to put his faith and his trust in him. She taught him not only the word of God, but so much so that Jabez became an honorable man. You know, sometimes I think we forget these things, and this is a good day not to forget this. Anytime you meet a person, after a little while of being around them, you're going to begin to draw some conclusions. Now, you can call it judgmental or whatever you'd like to, but we all do this. There are certain people that we look at and we say, whoo, boy, they're immature. Or boy, they got a long ways to go. Or boy, that person is dangerous. Or, you know, or there's other people that we meet and we say, that is a very intelligent person. Or we say, that person is very humble. Or kind, or look at their manners. Wow, look at the way that this is a person of honor. This is a person that is worthy of respect because of the way that they act and treat other people. We all do this. Don't forget this, that anytime you meet somebody like that, somebody help them get to be that kind of person. You know who that person is about 95% of the time? It's their mama. About 95% of the time when you meet a person and you see their character, you can know that there is a loving mother somewhere who made sure that that person knew how to be respectful and how to work hard and how to honor people and how to keep their promises and keep their word. And those things are so important. A good name, the Bible says, is better than choice silver. Well, Jabez's mother helped him to become an honorable man who had a good name. And it's thousands of years later. And we're still reading about him, aren't we? So I want to close with Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Instruction and law are just interchangeable words for the word of God. And it's a great reminder. You know, I hope that you will take the opportunity today to just thank God for your mom. And if you do have the opportunity, maybe you've already done this, if you have a good job, but if you have the opportunity and you're able, tell your mom you love her. Tell her you appreciate her. Make sure that she knows that. And don't take your mom for granted. Mom is probably one of the most important jobs on the entire planet. Stay at home mom. You know, for some reason, some people think that is like a cop-out or something. Nothing could be further from the truth. A mom? My mom? I could spend the rest of today just trying to start telling you about how much work my mom poured into helping my dad to accomplish what God had for their family. So, no, being a mom is the what I think it is. I think it's one of the most important jobs on the planet. It's also, by the way, terribly under attack right now in our day. So don't pay any attention to the foolishness of our culture or our media. Mom, God bless you. We love you. We thank God for you. Keep it up. And when you get discouraged, pick up the Bible and just read. Do you know, I can't find a really good example of a good guy in the Bible. Most of them start out like gangbusters and then just crash into the end of things. But we could go and look at a whole bunch of great moms in the Bible, a whole bunch of them. And isn't that interesting? By the way, who were the first ones that got to see Jesus after he was resurrected? Yep, it was the women. So keep it up. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep loving your husband. Keep loving your children. It's worth it. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, and we pray that he just help us to encourage us, Lord, to learn from even from some two little verses in the book of 1 Chronicles, Lord, about a fellow named Sorrowful and about his mom. And Lord, we just pray for our moms and for our wives and for these ladies. Lord, some of them are brand new moms. Some of them have yet to become a mom, but they are going to be a mom someday. I pray you just bless them, Lord. Lord, we just give you this time. Pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Would you take just a moment, just spend some time and talk to the Lord, and then we're going to share in the Lord's table together. Bible says in the night in which Jesus was betrayed that he took bread and he broke the bread and he said, this is my body. It's broken for you. As you and I come today and we break this bread, I want you just to remember that the only way that we can know God is through his son Jesus. And he bought that privilege for us by going to the cross and giving his self for us. So when we eat this bread, we want to remember the body of Jesus. Ben, you want to pray for the bread for us, please?
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for this bread that represents your body that was broken on the cross for us, where you died not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but also to invite us to live a life in you. And I thank you for this. I pray that when we come together, we would remember this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And after they had supped, the Bible says that Jesus took the cup. He said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. So as you come today and you look into the cup, it's going to remind you of the blood of Christ. The blood which washes away all of our sin. I hope that you know Jesus today. If you do, I want to just invite you to come and share in this table. Ian, would you please ask the blessing for the cup?
Lord, we love you and thank you for making the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Pray that you would search our hearts and cleanse us of any and all things that make us unworthy to eat at your table. Thank you for your love. Pray that you bless us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Will you come this morning and share in the Lord's table together? If you're visiting with us, we'd love for you to share in the Lord's table with us together. The only two things we ask of anyone who takes the Lord's Supper this morning is first of all, that you're a believer, that you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you followed him in a believer's baptism by immersion. If that's you, please come share in the Lord's table today.